By the way, how many of you have ever made a mistake? I know it's hard to admit. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Now, and God forbid, how many of you have made like 2 mistakes? So we're all gonna make mistakes, that's granted. Where you make the mistake is up to you. In attempting to serve God or attempting to serve the devil. Attempting to do righteousness or attempting to do wickedness. If you're gonna suffer, choose to suffer as a Christian for the sake of God. For if you suffer for the sake of God, rejoice, for great is your reward.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. There's an old saying that says, use it or lose it. Well, today we'll see that there might be some scriptural basis for that old cliche. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Gifts. You've got to use them.
Today I want to challenge you, those of you that have gifts given to you, to use them. And so today's message is entitled, Gifts. You got to use them. That's just how God designed the kingdom of God. In fact, to even enter the fullness of the joy of the kingdom is attained through the opening and the using and the investing of your gifts. Just that important. How many of you, by the way, are pack rats? You just keep stuff and collect stuff. Raise your hand. Okay, true confessions. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, all right. My dad was a pack rat. When he came back from Japan, we lived in Japan for 3 years, he brought a bunch of stuff back with him, and where a mobile home is, he stacked all just boxes upon boxes upon boxes of stuff, just stuff. And I remember when I was in high school going through some of his stuff, and I remember taking out a beautiful Japanese teacup set that was given to him as a gift when he retired and we left Japan. And I said, Dad, look at this. And I opened it up. I said, Dad, let's use it. He said, nope, wrap that back up. Why? He says, because I want to keep it. For what? For a special time. I said, well, hey, you know, me, our son, this is it. What about now? No, special time. Put it back, put it back. Don't mess with that. I said, well, when are we going to use it? Special time, special time. And then he also had uniforms, like fatigues, you know, camouflage stuff. And in that day, it was vogue to go to school with these camouflage kind of stuff. So I said, Dad, let me wear some of your stuff, you know, your fatigues, they called it. Nope, nope, that's my uniform. Put that back. So we put it back and left it there. Well, my father has since passed away, and I remember going through those things years and years later. And I remember taking a look at the fatigues, his old uniforms, and they were mildewed and molded, and we had to throw them away. And I remember opening up that teacup set, still wrapped up, and I thought, you know, he never will get to use this, will he? There's never been a special time. And I thought, you know, I wonder how many of us are pack rats with spiritual gifts still wrapped up inside. Gifts that are within us that maybe for some reason or another, we've not unleashed them and used them. Well, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a story of 3 who had great potential to succeed, great potential. But the final outcome of whether or not they would be successful would be determined by their willingness to invest what they had. Their success would not be determined by the amount of gifts that they'd received. It would be determined by their willingness to invest what they had. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read a portion of this. And also have your notes ready because we'll take a look at those in just a moment. Matthew 25, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he's going to explain or define what the kingdom of heaven is, the parameters and the entry into the kingdom of heaven. So verse 14, he speaks about the kingdom of heaven is sort of like unto this. It's like a man about to go on a journey, and he calls his servants and entrusts his possessions to them. Now he gave one of his servants 5 talents, and another 2, and then another 1, according to each one's ability. He went on his journey. Now immediately the one with 5 talents went out and invested 5 and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one that had 2 talents did the same, invested those 2 and got 2 more. But the one that received the 1 talent went away, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Didn't do anything with it. hoarded it, held on to it. Now, after a long while, the master returned from his journey and came to them. Now, the one who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See?" He said, "I invested those 5 and I got 5 more. His master says to him, listen to this, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The one with 2 talents came to the Lord and said, "You've given me 2, master. I've brought 2 more, invested them." And the master says the very same thing. Listen to this. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." What he was saying is this. There is a joy in entering the kingdom. Because remember, this whole parable is defining what the kingdom of God is like. And so he's saying, when you're investing your gifts, unwrapping them and using them, investing them for the master's pleasure, that is sort of like the key or the point of entry by which you enter into the joy. You begin to participate in the joy of the design of the king. He's saying, that's how I designed you. And as you're using your gift, you begin to see the joy. Now, furthermore, the one that had just the 1 talent that hoarded it came to the Lord and said, "Lord, here is that 1 talent you gave me." Verse 25, he says, "You see, I was afraid. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. Well, anyway, here's what is yours." And listen to the reaction of the master. He said, "You wicked and lazy slave. Why did you do that? Why in the world did you do that? You ought to have at least put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest." Then he says something interesting. "Therefore, take away the talent from that man and give it to the one who's a better steward," or the one that has 10 talents. What is he saying? I want these gifts, what? Invested. Now let's read together the conclusion in Matthew 25, 29 at the top of your notes. Ready? Go. "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away." Well, what is God saying? How do we enter this joy of the master, as it were? He's saying, enter into the joy of the master. Now, you've heard it say often, when I get to heaven, I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's fine to apply it that way. However, what is really the truthful context is the Lord is saying, when you are investing your gifts and giving it away, you should be hearing me say, "Well done." That's the way to get into the joy of the kingdom. Now you're understanding how I designed it to be. And as you're opening your gift, it's like the key that enters you within the embrace of what the kingdom is all about. Now you're getting it. That's it. Now you're entering in, not just spectating, not just walking around the periphery of the kingdom, but you're entering in by the usage of your gifts, investing it for the master's pleasure. That's it. So what are the keys of investing? What are the keys of all of this that the parable's speaking about? Or would you write in your notes here, let me give you these keys of how to enter in and some into the kingdom and the joy of the kingdom and some of the things God's teaching us. Here it is. Number one, what's the first lesson we learn out of this parable? And that is this: I cannot please God by playing it safe. Would you write that in there? I can't please God by playing it safe. Let's read the scripture right under there. Ready? Go. "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." Some time ago, I found a flashlight in our pantry that I had put there a couple of years before. I had stuck a brand new flashlight, brand new batteries in it, and capped it and put it in the pantry for later use. But because of times of shopping and the canned goods that we'd stock in the pantry, I guess it was pushed into the corner and forgotten in a nice, warm, cozy, comfortable place. But when I picked it up after a couple of years of sitting there, I turned the flashlight on to use it, and guess what? No workie, that's right. And I thought, what's wrong with this thing? It had new batteries in it. So I thought, well, I'll just change the batteries. I took off the cap of the flashlight. I couldn't even get the batteries out. They had gotten swollen, and little oozy stuff had come out of the battery. Corrosion. I couldn't even pry the batteries out. I had to throw the whole thing away. And I thought, now wait a minute. The batteries were in a warm and comfortable place. But you see, batteries were not made to be warm and comfortable. Batteries are made to be used. That's the very reason for its existence. And so it is true with you and me. We were created and designed to serve the purposes of God in our lifetime. We weren't designed to be just warm and comfortable. There's no other reason for us to exist but a willingness to be used for the kingdom of God. And when we use our gifts for the sake of the master's pleasure, then the Lord says, now you're understanding the kingdom of God. And the joy begins to increase in your life. That sense of newness returns. It's sort of like a sponge. As I've said before, if you take a sponge and you put it under a faucet and you turn the water on, within a few minutes, the sponge becomes saturated. It is now filled with water. Now, if you leave the sponge under the faucet for another 5 minutes, will it absorb any more water? No. What if you leave it under the faucet for 50 minutes? Will it receive any more? No. The reason it cannot is because it is now saturated. In order for it to become absorbent again, what must you do? You've got to squeeze the thing and give away what it's received. That's just the way sponges were designed. And then when you put it back under the water, it becomes absorbent again and it absorbs. And when it gets saturated again, what must you do? Wring it out again. And then it absorbs afresh. And we are created sort of like sponges. And we're going to come to church and God's going to fill you up. And he's going to deposit gifts and then train you and develop you and encourage you, etc. And you just get filled up. But at a certain point, you need to give that away. Invest what God has given to you. That's just how he designed us. If you don't, there's going to be a time where you're going to be in church and after 2 years, 3 years, you're saturated. You're just full. And then after a while, you can sit in church for another 2 years, but you just won't grow anymore. Why? Because you are saturated and you need to give something away. Now, if you sit there and you're saturated and you don't give anything away, you can sit in church for 10 years. That's why people are in church for 10 years and they stop growing after about year two. And after about year three, they turn to, someone, hey, honey. I mean, you turn to your spouse, yes. Yeah. Man, I'm not growing anymore. Just not growing here anymore. Must be the church. Man, I used to be just everything, man, just was wonderful, radiant, but now it's just kind of like, whoa, oh, one of those kind of things, just boring over here. Must be the church, must be the pastor. Lord, forgive them for saying that. Must be the pastor. But it's no one's fault but our own, because we have not push on the kind sponge, make them come out the water. Because we don't wring the thing out. And so the Lord is saying, invest your gifts because then you'll return to the absorbency and give it away. But the Bible says, I was afraid and hid your talent. One of the things we must be willing to do is risk it. Give life away because there's plenty where we received in the first place from where we've received. Give it away. Be willing to risk. And when you wring your sponge, life returns. That's what life is all about. If we hoard what we have, it gets boring and stale. You give it away and risk it. Man, all of a sudden life happens. You find people, if they're not growing or giving life away, they're boring. But life is about risking and giving it. C.T. Studd said it this way, the gamblers for gold are so many, but the gamblers for God are so few. Where are the gamblers for God? Where are those that are willing to risk some of it, give stuff away? Don't be afraid, because that's what life is made up of. There's a funny poem that goes like this, talking about risk and life. It says this, There once lived a man who never risked. He never cried. He never prayed. He never tried. Then one day when he passed away, his insurance was denied. They said since he never really lived, then he never really died. But it's in Acts 15:26 we find the key to the miracles of the book of Acts. People who are willing to wring their sponge and risk their lives and give it away. Let's read about it in this next scripture. Acts 15:26. Ready? Go. These men, Judas and Silas, who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therein lies the secret of the book of Acts. And God is still looking for churches where men and women who are still willing to live, as it were, the early church, the book of Acts, again in the 21st century. Men and women who are willing to wring out their sponges and give life away. But you say, but Wayne, what if I make a mistake? What if I err? I'm afraid, just like this guy. What if I try something and it doesn't work out? It's okay. We're all going to make mistakes. I mean, let's put that to rest right away. Isn't that right? By the way, how many of you have ever made a mistake? I know it's hard to admit. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Now, and God forbid, how many of you have made like 2 mistakes? Yeah. All of us have. So we're all going to make mistakes. That's granted. Now, where you make the mistake is up to you in attempting to serve God or attempting to serve the devil. Attempting to do righteousness or attempting to do wickedness. You know what the Bible says? All of you will suffer as Christians, but let none of you suffer as an evildoer, a meddler, or an evil person, or a murderer. But if you're going to suffer, then choose to suffer as a Christian for the sake of God. For if you suffer for the sake of God, rejoice, for great is your reward. What is he saying? You're going to suffer, but now today, start making the choice to say, then if I make a mistake, I'm going to make it in my attempts to serve the Lord. So would you write in your notes, if you're going to err at all, err on the side of righteousness. Err on the side of righteousness in your attempt to serve the Lord. Well, what if I make a mistake in an attempt to serve the Lord? Is that going to mess me up? No, here's the neat thing. Romans 8:28 gives us a promise. The promise is this. If the Lord says, if in your attempt to serve God, you make a mistake and stumble, and your heart's right though, and you really love God and are trying to do his will, but you make a mistake, the Lord says, I tell you what, I'll work it out for good and I'll turn it into something good. I'll turn it from a mistake into something that'll profit you. Interesting. Let's read it in Romans 8:28 in your scripture. Ready? Go. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it's sort of like this. God is saying, if it was impossible for you to fail, if you could not fail, just could not fail, what would you dream of doing for the master? What would be something you would do for his pleasure? What would it be to use your gifts and be like Christmas every day in the things that are going on? What kind of gifts do you have? What would you like to do if it were impossible to fail? And basically, that's what he's saying. He's saying, if you're serving me and you do well, super. But if you stumble, I'll turn it around and make it for good. It's like he's saying, if you serve me, you just can't fail when you serve the Lord. And how many of you agree? I mean, there's no better thing than to serve the Lord. When you're serving God, you just can't fail. Just go for it. If your heart's right and you love God, he makes that as a promise to us. So go for it and try. At least we try. You're going to make some mistakes. But I want a little byline on my tombstone right on the bottom that says this. Hey, at least this guy tried. At least he tried. You will all make mistakes. Like the guy, the policeman stopped this guy in the car and he looked in. The police officer said, hey, Mantle, how come your car get full of penguins? And Mantle said, oh, I saw him just wandering by the Isle of Wight, so I put him in my car. And the police officer said, Mantle, you better take these things to the zoo. Well, the next day, he sees Mantle driving down by Waikiki. So the police officer stops him and looks in the car. And the penguins are still in his car. The only difference is now the penguins all have sunglasses on. And the police officer said, Mantle, I thought I told you to take these penguins to the zoo. Manuel said, "Police officer, I did. We had so much fun. Today, we're going to the beach." At least he tried. Come on. Sai, Portuguese people are so nice. They try. At least they try. So in your attempts to follow the Lord, go for it. And then number two, you say, "Well, Wayne, what if my life is just so full of stuff? It's hard to follow God because my plate is so full." Well, that's when the Lord would say to you and to me, number two, would you write in your notes, prune your life to what's eternal. Begin to prune your life to what's eternal. Because we have a tendency, like a snowball, to just collect more and more stuff to our life. We just start to become, as it were, spiritual pack rats, or where we just accumulate, whether it be activities, mentalities, attitudes. What is it that's hindering you from giving your best to God? What is it that's hindering you? Sin? Unresolved sin? There's a lot of things that would hinder us from being the people that God created you to be from the beginning of time. Let God begin to prune things out so that the one He created you to be will start to emerge. Let's read what Hebrews says together. Ready? Go. "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." You see, God has set a race before you, a life, and He's given you the gifts to be able to win that race. But we start to accumulate stuff, and God is saying, "Would you let my Spirit begin to speak to you so that you might begin to prune to what's eternal?" The story is told of a very famous sculptor that took a huge piece of granite and began to sculpture something out of it, where in every day a lady would come and sweep all of the little chips from his chisel, take care of the dust and take it away. The next day he'd be chiseling away again and she'd come and clean up. This went on day after day, month after month, after 2.5 years or so. Finally, the day came when the inaugural presentation of this beautiful sculpture would be unveiled. Why, they had all of these distinguished people, dignitaries from everywhere had congregated, and the sculptor had also invited the cleaning lady to come. The lights were poised. The veil covered this beautiful sculpture. Finally, the string was pulled and the velvet fell down. And it showed, displayed a beautiful sculpture of the Abraham Lincoln Memorial. A massive, magnanimous sculpture out of granite. And there was Abraham Lincoln. And the people oohed and awed. Well, after they had some refreshments and some punch and cookies, they all exited, save the sculptor and the cleaning lady. And she just kept staring at this beautiful sculpture. "Well," he said, "what do you think?" She, without taking her eyes off the sculpture, said, "I have only one question for you." And he said, "Well, what's that?" She said, "How did you know Mr. Lincoln was in that rock?" The sculptor's reply was, "You know, I didn't really sculpture Mr. Lincoln. I just chipped away everything that was not. I just chipped away everything that was not Lincoln. And there he was." You see, and that's exactly what God is wanting to do through the Holy Spirit, to begin to chip away everything of your life that's not you, the one that He created you to be. But sometimes what hinders us from becoming that person and investing the gifts and then entering through the investing of our gifts to the joy of what God created and designed in the first place is that we accumulate so many distractions, and the Lord is constantly wanting to chip away everything that's not eternal. Let Him do that. Because as He does, you'll begin to see who God created you to be. And He designed you to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's what the parable is all about. Then he says, "Now you'll understand the joy of the kingdom."
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Gifts, You've Got to Use Them by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll bring you the conclusion on tomorrow's broadcast. Until tomorrow at this same time, this is Dill Gibbs for Pastor Wayne Cordero, wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.